This is the final chapter of our study on effective personal Bible study. We've gone over the theory or the how on personal study, where you've got your scripture / observation, interpretation, application, or we also broke it down as SOAP, scripture, observation, application, prayer. Maybe, hopefully you all remember PSOAP. It's better to start and end with prayer. We've gone into biblical genres as well, kind of a brief overview of scripture, the different themes of the different books of the Bible as well. Last week we went over hopefully some very practical helps, whether it was through commentaries and apps and different things like that. Today is probably going to be a shorter lesson anyway, even starting early, just with it being the last one, going over how to study difficult passages as well as easy passages. I think a lot of folks maybe get scared of studying scripture because they're afraid maybe they won't properly understand what they're reading. Or again, to be fair, there are a lot of very strange scriptures in the Bible, odd accounts, maybe something very theological or doctrinally deep that, you know, through a brief reading can be difficult to understand. So again, real quickly this morning, hopefully go over some aids or maybe even understanding why is a passage difficult or easy, and then how to overcome those hurdles. Because I think it's very easy to see difficult passages as a hurdle, but sometimes easy passages or familiar passages can be just as much of a hurdle as well to personal growth, because again, you think you're already familiar with them. Not all passages of scripture are equally easy to understand. Some passages are difficult, unfamiliar, or maybe even seem contradictory. Others, however, may feel so similar that we assume we already understand them, and you just brush right past them and you never glean anything else from them. 2 Peter 3:15-16 actually discusses, you know, the Bible itself points out not all scripture is easy. 2 Peter 3:15-16 says, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scripture." So even Peter writes, I understand sometimes what's in the Bible, it can be difficult to understand, but it's still practical. We say it every week, all Scripture is profitable. And he even gives the warning, difficult passages, they still deserve our attention, because sometimes if you don't truly understand or you don't take the time needed to them, you can get a false or a wrong interpretation and application of them. So, with all that in mind, studying hard passages, remember that God's word is always perfect. That's ultimately, keep that in your back of your mind. Maybe you're going through if you're doing a, you know, read through the Bible in a year, you're probably real close to the end of it. You've probably come across some really difficult passages, things that totally did not make any sense, maybe were super boring. Remember, God's word is always perfect. And with that being said, what makes a passage difficult? I've had some good, obviously the cultural differences. We're reading about a culture 2,000 to 5,000 years ago. So not only is it a different part of the world, it's also historically different. And sometimes that can play a huge part. Abby just told me she finished up Judges, and she did not enjoy the book of Judges. And again, there's a lot of cultural differences, a lot of things that don't really make a lot of sense. But now she's into Ruth, and she loves Ruth. But in my mind, I actually prefer Judges over Ruth, because to me, Ruth is a harder passage. I think of the story of Ruth, where she goes to Boaz, and it says that she sleeps at his feet. That's weird. All right? But again, all Scripture is profitable, and all those accounts are in there for a very specific reason. They're there for us to learn from. So cultural differences can often lead to difficulty in Scripture. My notes are now all of a sudden not matching up. Apparent contradictions. Obviously, we know that the Bible is without error. You have to go into your Bible study. We've mentioned this a few times. You have to go into your Bible study with the belief that this is without error. Because occasionally there are going to be some things where you come across where maybe the way it's translated into our English, again, culturally how we're reading it may come across as a contradiction. There are no contradictions. And we've said in the past, Scripture is the best, let Scripture interpret Scripture. It's the best commentary on itself. There are no contradictions. Other things that may make a passage difficult, it may be a purposeful mystery. I have it here where I've got Proverbs 25:2. Maybe it's a purposeful mystery. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search it out. I believe God's put purposefully more difficult or deeper passages in Scripture to force us to dive in deep. Instead of everything being a super brief, shallow read, there are purposeful Scriptures that cause you to get in deeper. God hid things on purpose. It's a total side note, but I was thinking about hiding things on purpose. It's even true with science nowadays, if you think about it. I think this verse applies to multiple subjects of education. I think in science, God's purposely hidden things in science for us to find, which I think is cool. Things that, going back in Scripture, again, a lot of famous examples, the world being a globe is mentioned in Scripture. All these different things, the seasons, the tides, the currents. Thank you. See? Somebody knew what I meant. Another one I found about God hiding things in plain sight for us to find. Again, not related to this, but I thought it was really cool. I was doing a Revelation study, and it talks about all the different gems that God uses to decorate heaven. Well, modern science has found out certain gems and precious stones react differently to pure light. And a lot of the diamonds that we, or a lot of the jewels that we see as like of high value or really pretty in pure light actually come across very dull. But they've taken all of the different gems and jewels mentioned in Revelation, run pure light through them, and all of them cause rainbow and prism-like effects. I thought that was really neat. Obviously, when John wrote that, when he was in heaven seeing all of these, he didn't understand the science behind it, but nowadays we can actually create pure light on our own, and we see all that. Obviously, God is pure light. Again, completely unrelated, but that was what I thought of when I read this verse about God concealing a matter, and it's up to us to find it. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to difficult passages in Scripture. God has given us the Holy Spirit, it says, to be our helper. That's not just a comforter, but I believe the Holy Spirit is there also in our personal study. He's there to aid in that interpretation and ultimately application of Scripture. So don't let difficult passages scare you off. If you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, He's there to help you through those difficult passages. Examples in my mind of some difficult passages, well, I'll leave it up to some of you all. What are some difficult passages or maybe hard to understand passages you've come across that have always stuck with you, maybe through your own, again, maybe through reading through the Bible study? Obviously, in my mind, I think of genealogies and things like that. Anybody else have a specific passage in mind where, like, I got to this one and I was completely thrown for a loop?
Book of Ezekiel has those different creatures with wings covering their feet between, you know, six and six and eyes, and that's difficult.
Right.
Ezekiel.
Anybody else? I think of Romans 9, the discussion between election of saints versus free will and how that all plays into salvation, you know, the sovereignty of God. In the epistles, oftentimes, specifically Philemon, discussion on slavery, where, you know, it may seem like slavery is being condoned. You know, what? That's a difficult passage for me. Deuteronomy, as well as Matthew, you've got discussions on divorce. What it, you know, when is divorce appropriate, if at all? Like, there, to me, there's some difficult passages that really take a lot of study. Again, don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are some steps? What are some ways in studying difficult passages? We've said it, I think, every week, context is king. Examine the context. See what's being said before and after it. See if that clues you in into what's being said. Maybe if you take a verse out of context, it may throw you for a loop. But you throw it in a whole chapter, or maybe, again, you take that whole book into perspective, it can help make a little more sense. Again, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Diagnose the difficulty. What about this is difficult for me? Why am I not understanding? If you can figure out why it's not making sense, that gives you at least a starting point to delve in deeper. Find relevant passages. Again, cross-reference. If your Bible has cross-references, it's a good place to start. This is also along where commentaries can come in handy. Don't leave it on its own. Again, context is king. Find other passages that also relate, and then figure out why it's difficult. And another thing I just thought of, there's an element to Scripture study, or I guess a principle. It's not foolproof, so it doesn't apply everywhere, but some of you may be familiar, the law of first mention. There's a principle to Scripture study where the first time a topic is mentioned oftentimes gives us the most insight or context into that topic. So whether it's, coming of Christ, you know, we've got a lot of passages, that's a very basic example, but you've got a lot of Scripture that deals with prophecy of Jesus Christ coming. Well, you go all the way back to Genesis 3, you have the first mention of a coming Messiah, you have a lot of context as to why. There's a lot of language about him crushing the serpent's head. Law of first mention, it is helpful. Again, it's not universal, but if you come across a passage that you don't really understand, maybe through the use of commentary or something, find the first time that topic is discussed in Scripture, often is the most in-depth, or again, gives you the most context as well. And then obviously, ask for help. Mature Christians, no one's going to talk down to you because you come asking for help on your personal Bible study. All right, if someone talks down to you, come to me, and I'll go deal with that. All right, I'm just kidding. Obviously, pastoral staff, elders, other leaders in the church, we all want to see each other grow in Christ. Everyone wants to see each other. They want to help you. Find another mature Christian. Growth groups are great for this as well. Even if whenever I've led growth groups, I've always left it very open-ended. We may be dealing on a specific topic, but you might have a question about something you've read this week on your own. Bring it up. You know, growth groups don't have to be a rigid structure. You know, they're designed for growth. Chase is great at this. He's great at bringing up questions that in our growth groups. He's great at bringing up a question that honestly may have nothing to do with what we were talking about, but it's great for everybody because sometimes, and you could probably agree, Drew, as well, some of the best discussions we've had were based on questions that somebody brought up that had nothing to do with what our topic of the day was. So again, don't be shy, swallow your pride, ask for help as well. All right, studying familiar passages. Again, remember, all Scripture is profitable. It can be very easy to glaze over accounts or, you know, different passages that we think we already know, especially if you've grown up in church for years. I'm that way. Pastor says open to a specific chapter or whatever. I was like, oh, I already know this. I've heard every message you can preach from that chapter. Turns out that's not true. Don't just assume. There's always something new. If you go into your personal Bible study wanting to learn, you will. If you go into it with the knowledge, I've already been through this, I just need to get through this so I can get to something else, you're probably not going to pick up anything. Familiarity can dull attentiveness. But don't assume. Ask questions. Jude 5 is a great verse dealing with familiar passages. And it deals with repetition. I think I've said this a few times. Repetition is the key to learning. Just because you've read a passage before wouldn't hurt you to read it again. The more you read something, the longer it's going to stick. And then Hebrews 6:1 as well. If somebody beats me there, you're more than welcome to read it. I ran out of bookmarks. But Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So here we assume Paul, he's even pointing out elementary principles of Christ, leaving them behind to go on to deeper things. Going into the same passage over and over again with a desire to glean more, it's there. Every time you're reading your Bible can be profitable if you have a desire for it to be. Treat it like it's the first time you've ever read the passage. And oftentimes that comes from that initial, you know, open your personal time with prayer. If you know you're getting into either a book or a section of the Bible that you're already pretty familiar with, pray and say, hey, God, open my eyes. Let me see something I've never seen before. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do. Search for surprises. If you are familiar with a passage already, that's a great time to get in practice using commentaries and different Bible aids as well. And then use journaling. I'm not a big journaler. I know some people who are. But it's a great way of making something stick. Or it's your own personal way of talking out loud, thinking through a problem out loud. I run into this all the time at work. So I'm in foundation repair. And no job is going to be exactly like another one. And it can be very beneficial for me and whoever my crew lead is that day, sit down on that project we've got coming up and just talk through it and see if there's something we missed, see if maybe when he gets out there, there's going to be a more efficient way for him to do it that I didn't think of. Journaling and talking through a problem is going to help it stick. You're going to be able to pull more out of it as well. So, again, I told you it was going to be short. That was the last little note. I just couldn't fit into the other 5 weeks. Personal Bible study. I hope this has been beneficial for you all. It's been good for me because, again, consistent Bible study has always been a struggle for me. It's been a good learning experience for me to kind of dive into it and take some of my head knowledge and turn it into heart knowledge. If you've got any other questions, like I said, come talk to me. Pastor Minton, he's been more than open. He's very excited for this class that we went through. Go talk to him. Again, he's got all kinds of other aids and insight that I obviously don't have. Any questions or comments about hard, difficult passages, easy passages, or anything else we've discussed over the last few weeks? Can't guarantee I have the answer, but I like questions because it gives me something to research. No problem.
Because I know that it was, you know, a time-consuming thing for you, and thank you.
No problem. It was definitely a growing experience, but as long as somebody learned something, even if I was the only one who learned something along the way, I count that as a win. Any other comments?
This course has been a really helpful one to parallel the beginning course of the Ladies' Bible Studies, Women of the Word. So in some ways, you gave more details, but the philosophy of trust in the Holy Spirit and beginning with Scripture, explaining Scripture, because that's, I think, initially, as you read that book, we kind kind of reacted to, like, especially the single, the moms who have kids and they're very busy and, read the passage and go straight to the commentary, right?
Oh, and let it do all the work for me.
Right.
Yeah. Good. And again, I didn't even know y'all were going through that book, but now a couple of folks have come up and said it's been a good kind of side-by-side, so.
Being a teacher, I've said this before in other situations, if you really want to learn the Bible, teach a group, you'll learn more than they will.
That can be scary. Leading a growth group is awesome. Teaching a Sunday school class is awesome. Like, if you want to see personal growth in a specific area, you're exactly right. Force yourself to teach it, because if you don't know, it's gonna expose it real quick.
In a growth group, you're actually, when you're discussing it, you're teaching other people what you've learned who are sitting in that group.
Anybody else? Comments? And last week, we kind of discussed a little bit of the AI tools and the aid they can be, especially like he's saying, use it as kind of your, it's a great way to synthesize information. Again, we mentioned don't necessarily ask it deep theological questions, but it's a great way to like pool a lot of information quickly. And then Steve Dalvin as well, I don't know if he had come up to me after, I think it was after, and he said apologist AI. Is an actual Bible-based Bible study AI software where you can pull like Greek and Hebrew and all kinds of different stuff. So if that's something that you already utilize daily for work and you're used to working with AI, Apologist AI, again, I've never used it, but Steve Dalvin said it was a good program. Anybody else before we pray? All righty, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us all to meet these last few weeks and get a better understanding of the importance of your word and the importance of studying it and applying it to our lives. And my prayer is that everyone leaves with something. Maybe it was on AI, you never know. I pray that everyone picked up a little nugget here along the way, and it aids in their future spiritual growth. I pray that over this next year, we can see a lot of individual growth in our own lives and maybe even take it back to this course. In Jesus' name, amen.